Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Do you know that the House of Miracles is not just coming into church, but it's you. You are the House of Miracles. You carry the Holy Spirit with you every single day. There's not just a church building where healing can happen. There's not just a church building where things can come alive in somebody's life. It happens at home. It happens at work. It happens everywhere we go because He's with us all the time, because He's moving all the time, because He's living. And He is breathing with us in everything we do. Woo! Can we come alive? Can we allow the Word of God to just ignite something within our lives that allows us to come alive? Hallelujah. He's doing great things. If you are here still, He is not done with you. He is not done with you. He's got more. Oh, the Bible tells us that we have life and life more abundantly. There is no situation where He desires for you to be stuck. There is no situation where He desires that you be down. There is no situation where He wants you to be at your lowest point. He says, I gave you life, and I gave it to you more abundantly. There is blessing within you. I created you the way I wanted you to be. I created you perfectly. There was no mistake in who you are. No mistake. You are exactly who He created you to be. And it's the Word of God in our lives that allows. I'm sorry, I gotta kick off my shoes because I'm moving too much. It is the Word of God that allows for those dry bones to come alive again. It is the Word of God that allows the situations in your life that seem completely down, where you can't move, you can't change anything, you can't do anything, to become alive. It's those things that the Word of God does in your life. Woo, come on. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. It really is. As you go after Him, life begins to change. That's why this song, I love it. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Because He's not done with you. He's got great things for you. For you, for you, for you, for you, for you. He's got great things for every single one of us, which is why it's so important for us to learn that the church does not just reside within the church. It resides within you. It's there all the time. He is with you all the time. So that when you go home and you sit at the edge of your bed and you say, God, I need you because I don't know what to do. God, I'm hurting and I don't know how to let it go. God, I want joy in my life. I want peace. It's in those moments that He will speak to you. He will give you exactly what you need. Yeah. But we gotta realize that we gotta come to a point where we say, I'm not gonna focus on my hurt anymore. I'm not gonna focus on the things that make me down. I'm gonna focus on You, because You are the comforter. Because when I'm hurting, You love on me. When I am having problems and I am struggling, You lift me up. You give me joy unspeakable. You give me peace that passes all understanding. You give me long suffering for the situations that I don't know how to handle.
I can be a total testimony to what you're talking about. Years and years ago, as a teenager, I felt God was not in this place. I felt God was not at my home. I figured God must be at church. So even as a child, when my cat would get sick, I would get on my bike and I would ride down to church because I figured that's where God was. And our church had its doors open. And so I would go in and I would pray and I would go home and life returned to bad again. And so I found the Lord as a child and He's there. He was there for me. I am a living testimony to Him. And He's not at church. And He's not in a building. He is in us. His Spirit is us. His Spirit is in us. It's us. And when we get our head out of the way and we get our body out of the way and we let the Spirit come through us, He's already with us. He's already won. I am that testimony. I thought that He was at church. I literally would bike down anytime I needed help to a church building or out to church people. But He's with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And we have to choose this day who we will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
God wants to know that He loves you so much, and you are His house. You are everything that He desired you to be. But the one thing that He's saying is that He needs permission. The battle belongs to Him. Amen. It's not our battle. But we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the principalities of this world. And the Lord says, I am, I am. I will do the battles for you. I will do it for you. But the thing is, we can do all we can and we can be on our faces, we can fast, we can do everything. But until we give Him permission to work in our lives, He can't. Then all we do is allow the enemy to join in with Him. And if we don't let Him free, and He set us free, so we need to be free of what He's doing. So all He wants to let you know is let Him have the freedom that He's given you. And you have to honor Him by just saying yes. Just saying yes. And as He does that, as you do that, He loves you. He's not going to stop loving you for no matter what you do or what you say or how you react. But He does need your permission. So love Him back. Love Him back by saying, I trust you. Faith is believing that it's going to happen even before it happens. And He's saying, I just want you to love me. I just want you to love me. And that's only the beginning. And then He comes in, and then the joy of the Lord is your strength. All of a sudden, everything that you have that is in you, you're the house. You're the house of worship. And all we have to do is worship Him. He says, don't come with fear and trembling. You come with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit and things will happen. So, I love you. All He's saying is, I love you.
I wasn't going to say anything because Rebecca said pretty much everything I was thinking of. But maybe someone needs to hear it in a different way. I love the line of that song where it says, we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything. God, we bring our finances, our jobs, whatever you're needing, everything. Our children, yes, amen. Everything needs to be at the feet of Jesus. We need to surrender. Like Stella was saying, we need to give God permission. And we do that by surrendering to Him and His will. When we do that, we come alive, right? Yeah, come on. We're no longer alive, we're living. and we become the house of miracles. So just to reiterate what Rebecca said, lay everything at the feet of Jesus, because that's when we start walking in his will for our life, is when we surrender.
I feel called right now. We're talking about this song and bringing things to the feet of Jesus. And I'd like to pray for this church body right now. So I'm going to ask you to get with God. And what is it you're holding on to? What is it that you haven't brought to his feet that's holding you back? What is it that keeps you from going forward to where he's called you? Again, it's submission, it's trust in who he is, and just as Micaiah said, finances, sicknesses, whatever the case may be, what is it that you're not trusting that he can take care of? So I'm just going to pray over you as a whole body, but you get with God right now. Father God, I just ask, Lord, that you would just come, Lord, and touch the hearts of every person in this place, Lord. And just as we've been saying, this is a house of worship, Lord, but we are your house, Lord. And so, Lord, I ask that you would now come and you would just bring revelation to the areas and people, Lord, the areas in each one of your children that you want to have, Lord. You're saying, bring it to me. There is nothing too big that he can't take care of. And it's not for you to hold on to. Now you can, that's your choice. But he's saying today, you lay it at my feet and leave it there. Amen. Don't pick it up. Leave it there and I will come and I will lift you. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing this morning, Lord. What a wonderful place to be, Lord, when people that are all of one mind can gather and just love you, Lord, and allow you to love us back. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Praise God.
The Bible says, after every time Jesus went out and did something, some kind of miracle. When he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, after he did all these things, he went into prayer with his Father. He went into prayer. And that's where we do, what we do, we go into prayer. And when we commune with him and we abide in him, that's when he talks to us and gives us our next assignment. And the Bible says to stand above all things. Do you know who you are in Christ?
Amen.
You are kings and priests in Christ. And when he tells you to do something, you have all power and authority to do it. He tells us that in his name, in his word, that he will strengthen us and we can do all things through Christ who is in us.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
But it's through prayer. You start out in prayer. You start out by hearing what God has for you. And he gives you the power and authority to go out to do what he wants you to do as your little part of the kingdom, as your little part of the body. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing, and don't worry about how you will look in front of people. Because if he's behind you, and he's for you, and he's in you, you are Christ's ambassador walking on the earth. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. How many, you may be seated. You guys can sit down if you'd like, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what God's doing. Amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you that God is going after the church? How many say amen?
Amen.
You know, I mean, like, I've been, like what we've been preaching out of the church here lately, that God is he's really, if you'll pay attention to what he's saying to you and some of the things that you go through, he's speaking to every one of us. How many say amen? He's using your circumstances so that he can teach you something that's very powerful. Can I say that to you? He desires what you're going through, what the things that he's going through. Can I tell you that he's got it under control? He's got that thing. He's the one that figured that you're strong enough to receive that, to receive what you're going through so that he can teach you something, so that he can show you how glorious it is to be a man on the earth. How many say amen? Or a woman of God. Amen? Can I just say this to you? Let me just, this might not be news to a lot of you, but I will say that God desires that we begin to partake of the harvest that's in the earth. Amen. How many say amen to that? Do you understand what he's saying? And the harvest isn't just all souls, folks. The harvest are cities and states and nations. These are harvests that God has called us into. And this is that we are in a time where God is saying, look, I'm calling on the body of Christ. Know who you are. Understand my word that comes to you. The word that's given to you, it's a reason. What he says here in the morning, what comes out of the pulpits. Can I just say this to you? We got to quit looking at each other and say, oh, that's just Steve, or that's just Frank, or that's just Bobby. I'm trying to name some names or that's just Fred, or that's just Pastor John. He likes to preach like that. We got to quit doing that and listen to what's being said and allow that word to become into our hearts so that it can change the things that God's desiring to do in our hearts. Let me say amen to that, because there's a harvest. God has this, like I've said before, this building is a harvest. This building used to belong to, I'm going to say this to you. When we first came in this building, we were worshiping in the back. It was cool. And we got so many people in that back room that we couldn't worship in where the bar was anymore. How many said amen? So we came on this side. We're facing this way and we're having service and all of a sudden there's just like this thundering going on inside this building. How many say amen? How many of you were here? I know Eileen was here. I know Judge John. There's a few. We were sitting here and you hear this thundering. Everybody's going, what's going on? And what we used that front room as a Sunday school room, as we still do, but that's where we came in through. We weren't using the main doors come through. We were using that door over there. And what happened was the door from inside the church swung open and all the papers that were on the table that were by the door went blowing out when the door opened. There was something, because I will tell you, this building used to be a place where people drank. And who knows what else they used to have to do back then? How many say amen to that? But there were things in this house that really didn't understand or like the worship that we were doing. And what they did, they exited the building. Stage left, what do you want to call it? Out of the house, man. I'm out of here, man. And I'll tell you what, we rejoice because we realize what happened. It's not up to us to run them out. How many say amen? The Spirit of God will do that. He'll do that in your house. You're having problems, somebody turning the lights on, turning it off. How many know people see that in their houses? People turn something, hey, how come the light just went on? Hey, how come it just got shut off? You know what? The Holy Ghost will run it out. How many say amen to that? Allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit. Allow yourself to base in the presence of God. How many say amen to that? Amen. He wants you in his presence because it's in his presence where he begins to speak to your heart. It's a sweet, small voice, but it will get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And before you know it, you're hearing him as you're walking to your car. And you get in your car, you're hearing him. And he's saying things to you. And as you're at work, he begins to say things to you. And you begin to recognize that voice because you've been in the presence of God. And you know what the voice of the Lord sounds like. Amen. Come on, God is desiring to speak to you. He's desiring for you to stand up and give a word to the body of Christ. That's why we got this open. That's why this is here, so that somebody gets a word while we're worshiping. Let me tell you, I'm not looking for I don't know if I should advertisements. How's that? hey guys, you know what? I'm having food at my house tonight. Everybody come over. We're not looking for that. We are looking for what the Holy Spirit says to you during the worship time, during what he might have said to you in your prayer this morning or late last night. We are looking to hear those things that God is saying to you because he's given them to us for the body of Christ. I mean, amen? Amen. That's what this is for. That's what this microphone is for. And I probably better let my daughter speak. I'm proud that my daughter is speaking this morning. Can I just tell you, the Word of God says in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. How many know that? And one of the greatest promises that I used to hold on to for my children was that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Do you know that preaching is prophesying? Do you know that? Do you know that the Spirit of God comes within a heart and begins to speak through the mouth? How many say amen to that? And I love it. I love it when my children prophesy. Unless they're talking to me personally. No, I'm just kidding. My son told me one time, Dad, I better not say what. You know, what he told me was, he said, Dad, listen, Dad. Because I was giving him a hard time about secular music. How many like jazz music? How many like oldie music? How many, does anybody in there like that? See, I came out, and said, you couldn't listen to nothing. You just, it had to be all church stuff. Anything else was secular. And my son was the one that taught me. He said, Dad, how do you like this song? And on a saxophone, he played Amazing Grace. I said, oh, son, that's good. That's good. He said, Dad, listen to it this way. And he slurred all the notes together and everything come out real. I go, ooh, that sounds good, son. I love that. He goes, Dad, that's jazz. That's called jazz. You play from the heart. I said, oh. So my son taught me stuff. My daughter's taught me stuff too. She's taught me that when you look at people's dad, you got to have a heart of compassion before you say anything to dad. Dad, she's had those words towards me, and she might not have said them just like that, but I knew what she was saying. Dad, we gotta love, Dad. We gotta love, man. So I appreciate my children that will even speak to me. Amen. Are you too grown in the Lord to let some young person talk to you? Can I tell you, I'm looking forward to where these little young people will come out of there and begin to grab us one by one. This is what the Lord says to you, sir. And begin to prophesy to you. How many say amen to that? How many will you receive it? We say, oh, that's just a little girl. Yeah, well, what? Guess what? God can use. Come on. That was good. Come on. Praise God, man. So hallelujah. If God can use, amen, can he get your attention by a little girl or a little man saying, hey, man, this is what God's saying to you. Can he get your attention? Oh, he can. Praise God. God's trying to get our attention, folks. He's asking for our attention. Like that song said, you deserve the, what was it? All of our, there's a word in there. Or what? Yeah, it's attention. It's attention. All of where we put our attention on God. But anyway, so I'm going to, without anything else, we're going to go ahead and let my daughter come up and minister. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, hello. Okay. Whew. Worship was good, and I'm still like trying to cool off. So this morning, the title of my message is Unity in the Father. I think that even growing up, I heard a lot of scriptures about unity, and the Bible does have a lot of scriptures speaking about unity in the church. You know, there not being division, all of those things. And this week, I just felt like God was really talking to me. It was actually last Sunday. We talked about unity some, and then through the week, man, God just kept giving me these scriptures, and it was about unity. But the parts that were sticking out was that, you know, we live in a world, right, that is very much so based on opinion right now. I know that it's gotten a lot more to the point where everything is about how, what you feel, what you think, what do you want, what do you, you know, all those things. And it has become very much so this thing that is almost like a monster, right? Like, people are at this point where opinion is so important that if you don't agree with their opinion, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. Like, we don't see eye to eye. You don't agree with the way I think. And, you know, God really started to speak to me on this because we're meant to be in unity. But unity can be very hard when we're doing it just trying to do it on our own. And that's the thing, is that in the Bible, and that's what we're going to look at today, in the Bible, it actually talks about unity coming from the changing of our minds, because we have a mind like Christ. And that's the thing, is that the church sometimes focuses on the unity portion. We need to be together. We need to not have division between us. So don't fight, don't argue, which are all good things. Those are good things. But the truth is we're people. And sometimes you do get that, right? I feel frustrated with you because you're not listening to me. I feel frustrated with you because of whatever it might be. And the Bible actually tells us that it's not us that who creates that unity. It's Him in us who creates that unity. As we begin to go after God, as we begin to press in, as we begin to look to Him for all things, there's something that happens within us. There's a transforming of the mind that happens. And as that transformation happens in our life, it really does affect the way we look and deal with the things that are around us. This is so key, because the church is meant to be different. We were never meant to, you know, just come to church and do church the way we normally do church and then go out and follow these rules. No. Transformation happens and things happen in people's lives because God reveals things to them, because revelation happens as they go after Him. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go into scripture, because I want to show you guys where it actually talks about this in the Bible. And then we're just going to kind of look at some of these unity scriptures. But this is just something that is so important for us, because God is ready to, he's waiting for us. He really is. There is such a strong pull. Every time that we're here, every time we're talking, it's like God is speaking the same things, because He's trying to get us to realize, focus on Me and you'll begin to see things happen in your life. Focus on Me and you will begin to see that I have things for you. Focus on Me and I'll give you peace. Focus on Me, I'll give you rest. Focus on Me and I will help you through the day to day. But the key thing has been that we gotta look to God. It's so easy sometimes for us to get to these points where we just read and we just go through the normal day-to-day things, but God never intended for it to just be that. That's why the Bible is living. It's why when you look at it one day and see God speak to you about one thing, maybe a month down the line, something else completely different pops out to you, because He is desiring to speak to you. He's a living God. Everything you're going through, He has something for you. Every single thing that you are coming up to, even, He's already trying to give you things so that He can give you the tools you need as you come to it. But that's the thing, is a lot of times we don't even realize that, because we're so busy focusing on what's happening around us. So let's go to Ephesians 4:11. And it says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated by from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This scripture, oh, it has so much packed into one part. And that's when I went through this, man, this one part, I was like, holy smokes. Okay, God, like, they're right there. If we would just listen to some of these things. And that's the thing, is the Bible will give you confirmation. It will. If you get one thing, he will show you another to back it up. And he'll give you another one so that you know. Because he tells us that by two or three things, right, shall anything be established? Because he's wanting you to know that we can go to him to get confirmation of the things he's speaking to us about. It's the same thing that we talk about all the time in this church. Don't just take what we say and be like, okay, that's the way it is. Go talk to him about it. If you feel like I'm not sure about that, go speak to him about it. Go to him and say, God, I don't know that I agreed with this. I don't know what I think about this. And just tell him, like, I want to hear from you. And he will speak to you personally on those things. Because that's the thing, is that there are times where I can get really excited about things and say, oh, like, man, God spoke to me about this. It was so awesome. And I'm talking to somebody and they're looking at me like, okay, that's great. Like, but that's the thing. It's because revelation happens for each and every one of us as we go after him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It takes the Bible, it takes the words that he's given us, and it begins to unlock secrets that are within it. Things that as we go after God, revelation brings forth for us. That's why the relationship is so important. Because anybody can read through the Bible. Anybody can just skim quickly and say, I know this and I know that. And sometimes you will find people that will say, but the Bible says this and this and this and this. And sometimes, you know what? You don't even need to argue. The only thing you say is, okay, well, go after God. What is he telling you? Because that's the thing, is that sometimes what people don't realize is that revelation is key to understanding the things that he's trying to give you. It's key to growth in our lives. It's key to us seeing the kingdom on earth. Because as we go through life and we allow him to speak to us in all things, there is a transformation of your mind that happens. And that transformation is just making you more Christ-minded. It's allowing us to change our perspective from seeing what's happening in front of us to seeing what's happening in the kingdom. It's a whole shift of the way that, have you ever talked to somebody where you feel like everything's negative? I've heard the negative Nancy thing so many times, right? But that's the thing, is that God can totally change somebody who's negative all the time just because of love entering their life and then revelation taking over and the Holy Spirit just touching their lives, because what seemed so down and so wrong all the time before now doesn't feel that way because there's something new within them. This talks about that. This is why, can I tell you, this is why there's so many religions, right? There's all of these different religions that you know, focus on different parts or take out different parts because maybe they're not agreed on. Maybe they're not, we just don't like that part, whatever they are. This is why that happens. Because people read the Bible and they'll take what they want from it. This part sounds good and I'm comfortable with this in my life, so I'm going to take this part. But this is where growth becomes a big point. This is where the church takes a whole different, we have been talking so much about the church not just being within these walls. And it's because of the fact that the church is within you. God is speaking to you on a regular basis. And just like my dad was talking about right now, when you've not exercised that, sometimes you are not sure if he's speaking or if it's your conscience speaking to you or what is it that's telling me that this is the way things should be. But I can tell you that the more that you go after him, the more you'll recognize that voice when it speaks to you. The more you'll begin to say, man, God, you are talking to me all the time, but I just wasn't listening because I didn't know who you were. It's a relationship with the Father. It's that relationship that brings about transformation in our life. It's that relationship that brings unity in our life. Because now where, I'm just going to use the churches as examples, now where there's all these different churches seeing all these different things, when they're all going after him and allowing him to speak, that unity comes together because God is not the one who's giving you something different over here and something different over here and something different over here. It's not him. The Bible talks about not being divided because when we have a mind like Christ, we now are thinking like him and he's not going to contradict himself. The Bible tells us that it's truth. So if it's truth, why are we seeing so many different things within it that contradict each other? Because you're not allowing revelation in your life. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one that is giving you direction. Whew. It's so important. It is so important for us to realize that it is not about focusing on just unity. It's about focusing on the Father so that he can bring unity. Because that's the thing, is as he speaks to us, as we focus just on him, it happens on its own. You'll begin to see your relationships change. You'll begin to see different things in your life just begin to be molded in different ways because as he speaks to you, he's gonna uplift you. He's gonna take some things out and replace them with things that he wants you to have. He's gonna give you things that he's desired for you to have all along. And sometimes the part that I love to see so often is that sometimes, a lot of times, there are gifts within you that you didn't even realize you had. There are things that God had for you all along that you didn't even realize were there. But now all of a sudden, because of a relationship with the Father, you're now a pastor. You now are, that's the thing, is every single one of us are preachers. That's why this is something so important to us, is because we want a body to understand that you are the body of Christ the same way that we are. And that if you go after God, he's got words for you. He's got things he wants to speak to you the same exact way that he's going to speak to the pastor, the same exact way that he's going to speak to the worship leader, the same exact way that he's going to speak to people in the church is the same exact way he desires to speak to you. It's not just specifically for them anymore. God took care of that for us when he died on the cross and gave us the Holy Spirit. When he did that, he gave us a gift Because now we didn't have to go through anybody else. We didn't have to go through somebody to be clean enough, to be okay enough to meet with the Father. He cleaned us. He wiped it away. And he said, now I'm meeting with you. I'm God. I'm having a relationship with you. But we gotta go after him. We gotta go after the word. And it's not just the reading, but it's also the waiting, right? Yep. It's also understanding, I'm not just gonna fly through this reading and do my reading for the day. I'm gonna spend time with you because I wanna build a relationship with you because I wanna know who you are. And it's as we do that, that revelation comes. That's where he begins to speak, are those moments of waiting. Those moments that we're saying, I'm just going to stay here and worship you because I don't know what else to do. God, I'm just going to sit here and I am going to pray and I am going to go after you until I hear you say something to me. Because he will. I guarantee you, every time you do that, he will speak to you. As a worship pastor, I can tell you the number one thing that I truly love about worship. My family was a musical family to begin with. We always were. My dad was always playing his guitar. We just grew up with music. But one of the things that I love about worship is that somebody who has never felt like they heard from God, never understood what's going on. Maybe it's their first time walking into a church. You can feel a presence. And that's the thing. I just love that about worship. It's just spending time in the presence of God. Spending time just with him, one-on-one. Enjoying that time that you have with him and feeling him there. And that's the thing, is when somebody feels God, when they feel his presence in a church, when they feel his presence in speaking to you, when they feel his presence, they can't deny what they felt. It's that thing that can be the spark in their life to say, whatever that was, I want to feel it again. I want to know what that was. It's that time that we spend with him that begins to change our lives. It begins to do something within us that makes us completely different. I was talking to my dad about, when I was going through this, when God was speaking to me about this, I was thinking about when I was a kid. And I was telling him, I was actually pretty bossy. I was the leader most of the time because I was just like, I'll make the decision. I had no problems. So I was kind of a more bossy kid. And that's the thing, is that I can definitely say that that helped because I now own a business. But at the same time, God definitely took me as I learned things from him, he definitely took me from just being bossy to being patient, to having empathy, to understanding that they're just people. And sometimes they get upset and sometimes they say some things, but we can't let that get to us. We just got to continue to love on them. But I can definitely tell you that it's not because I decided, you know what, today I'm going to have more empathy. I'm just going to be a little more loving and I'm just going to change it like that. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. It's the same reason that people struggle with depression. It's the same reason that people struggle with addictions. It's not as easy as just flipping a switch. But God can make a change. That's why that relationship is important. It's because as he speaks to you, transformation just happens. It does. Because as he speaks to you, he loves on you. And as he loves on you, he teaches you. As he teaches you, he puts you through some things, but you're still learning and you're growing. You're becoming more like the Father. We were created in His image, so why don't we always walk in His image? Because there are so many times that we say, oh, I want to feel this way right now, and I'm going to go with that. When really we should say, okay, God, I'm really frustrated right now, and I'm really upset, but I'm going to go to You. The focus should always be on the Father. Every situation, every single thing that everything that happens, just like Micaiah was talking about in the song, taking everything to the feet of Jesus. You may think that it seems silly. You may think that it is the smallest thing. But let me tell you, as you learn to turn to Him in every single thing in your life, is when you begin to see Christ just within you. It begins to pour out. It begins to be something that you didn't do anything for. It's just you went after Him. You built a relationship. You loved. And that is what makes a change. Let's go to, I want to read another scripture that talks about this. In Colossians 3:1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Right there, it talks about who we are in Him. The things we should be portraying, the things we should be doing. This is exactly what we're meant to do. We are, guys, let me tell you that we all have opinions, right? Yep. We do. I'm not saying that I don't have an opinion. We all have opinions. But the key is learning to allow God to be the one who directs us, and not what we want or think or say to be what drives us. This world is so used to just being driven by feeling and emotion. And this is how I think, this is what I want, so I'm doing it. Transformation in our lives happens because we go after God. And these things that He's listed in here are exactly the things that we begin to see come out. And that's why it's so important. mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anybody has a complaint against you, it says right here, forgive the way I forgave you. This is where the body becomes one body. Because instead of allowing our opinions and the things that we feel to be what drives us, we begin to focus on the Father, who then becomes who gives us direction. As we go after him, you will find that when before you used to just be mad on the drop of a dime or upset with somebody right away, as you go after him in those moments, you'll begin to notice that it's easier every single time to say, you know what, God, it's all right. I'm going after you. We are meant to be set apart. We are meant to be different than the world. And it's because of the relationship that you have with the Father. It's because of that relationship that you begin to show more of who he is in your everyday life. It's because of that relationship that these churches become more effective to the communities that they're in. Because now, instead of bickering between each other, we're in unity with each other because we're just going after God. And then it gives us the opportunity to pour out to the people who need it. The Bible says that he left the 99 for the one. Why? Why? Because he didn't care about the 99? No. It's because they already had what they needed. It's the one that was in trouble that he needed to go after. And that's what we have to understand. Transformation absolutely must take place in our lives for us to be able to become effective to the people around us. We have got to build relationships with the Father. We got to understand that as we look to him, it really does fix everything else that happens in your life. We become so focused, we can at one moment be looking to the Father, God, I am going for you, to you for everything. And something happens in your life and it's a distraction. And it will a lot of times make you go from looking here to looking at the problem. When you don't need to look at the problem, you just need to continue looking at the Father, and he's going to give you exactly what you need for that problem. Sometimes we go through things in our lives for longer than we need to because we didn't just stay focused on the Father when we should have. There's times that we will see something happen in our life and we'll say, God, why am I still going through this? And instead, just tell him, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to do in my life? Because all things work together for good. Even when you can't see why, just look to the Father. Don't take your eyes off him, because all things work together for good. He's got stuff for you. He's got things he wants to place within your life. He's got things that he wants to pull forth in your life. He wants to make you more than a conqueror. He wants to make you strong. He wants to give you all the things that you need to get through what's going on in your life. But it requires us looking to him. Come on. So many times we see people not go to God for things, but the second something bad happens, they turn to him, and he will be there. I'm telling you, he will be there. But we are meant to look to him in all things, all the time. We are meant to be growing constantly, to consistently be looking to him. Because as we do that is where change happens within our lives. It's where meekness starts to come in. It's where long-suffering starts to come in. It's where humility starts to become apparent. Not because we just focus on these things, but because we're focusing on the Father. And as we take on who he is in our lives, those things automatically come with it. Whew, come on. This is where the church finds unity. By all of us going after the Father and becoming like our Father. One of the things that came up to that came to mind right away when we were talking about this is when we went through marriage counseling before we got married, they showed us that triangle that everybody sees when it comes for marriage, right? And it's the husband, the wife, and Christ, right, at the top. And that was something that right away, it popped into my mind. Because it's not just with our husbands or wives. It's not just with, you know, marriage. It's with every relationship. It's with every relationship. Your children, your siblings, your aunts, your uncles, your best friends, your everybody in your life, your church body, your family. As you focus on God, you will see that all of those relationships become greater. You will see that all of the relationships around you will change because that's how unity happens. It happens when you just focus on God. Don't focus on, I gotta be, if you're having to consciously say, okay, I gotta be nice to this person because I'm having a really difficult time with them. Focus on God. Because that's not unity. Just because you're saying that you're going to be nice to them so that there's no division doesn't mean that there's not division that needs to be fixed. Whew, come on. Because I see this in the church so often. Hi, how are you? Oh, but I hate your music. Oh, hi, how are you? But I really didn't like the way you said that to me the other day. Guys, we do this all the time because we let our emotions get away with us. But that's the thing, is God has called you to more. He's called you to unity, but that unity comes from him. It's not something that you have to be trying to fix on your own constantly. Like, why can't I get this person to just like me? Don't worry about it. Go after God. Because he will fix the relationships for you. You feel like your kid will not listen to what you're trying to tell them about God? That's all right. Go after God. Because there will be things that happen in your life that your child will see that can be the one thing that they say, you didn't say a word to me, but I saw how you handled that. I saw how you loved me even when I was so rude to you. I saw how you constantly just poured into me, even when I just wanted to turn you away. Because that's the thing, is now you are showing an unconditional love that the Father also gives to you. Amen. There are so many times that we say, God, you take that back seat. I got this. And that's not all right. It's in those moments we got to remember, no, God, I know what I want to do, but what do you want me to do? God, I know how I feel, but what do you want me to do in this moment? We should never, because let me tell you, he's not in the back seat. He's still right there with you. Even when you think you're leaving him at the door, even when you think you're just putting him to the side for a second, no, he is right there with you the entire time. It's why there's no secrets with him. He knows who you are. He knows exactly who you are, which is why he also knows exactly what you need. That thing you're struggling with, that thing that you're finding difficult, it's why he can give you exactly what you need in the Word of God to uplift you. It's why he can give you exactly what you need in the Word of God to just get it over with. It's why he can give you exactly what you need in the Word of God to fight the battle. Because if you go after him, he knows you better than anybody because he created you. He created you for greatness. He created you to be a mighty man and woman of God. Just like we heard today, he created you as royalty. You are royalty in the kingdom. You are nothing less. So let him, allow him to just bring those things up in your life. Allow him to just gird you with all of the things you need on a regular basis. Go after him. Dig in. Dive deep. Get hungry. Whatever it is, go after him. And if you begin to see, God, I can guarantee you, if you go after me and say, God, I just want more, he's going to give you some. And as he gives you some, he's going to give you some more. And he's going to give you some more. And he's going to give you some more. And you're just going to get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. Because now where you felt like there was nothing you could do, you're going to see that just things begin to change in your life. That life does become life more abundantly because now you're not trying to do it on your own. You're not trying to figure it out on your own, but you're allowing him to transform your life that he might make you more like him so that you can just, you can be a blessing. You could be go from that dry desert to that running river, from the dry bones to coming alive. You have the ability to go from that to all the things that he has for you. It's why the Bible talks about those things, because it's what he means for your life. He doesn't mean for you to be stuck. He doesn't mean for you to be just going through the motions. He's got things for you. He's got things that he wants to give you. He's got miracles he wants to perform. He's got things that he wants to touch inside of your life. That's why I told you this morning, that song, you are the house of miracles. You take those miracles with you every single day. You have the ability to touch the people that are in your lives because you have him within you, because you are the house of miracles. It's not just in a book. It's not. You will begin to see as you go after him that it is all living. Every single thing that you see in there is something that he had promised for you. It's something that he desired for you to be able to use. Healing is something that is not just in the Bible. Healing happens. Healing is real. And if you begin to have faith and allow him to do things in your life, you will see these things become apparent in your life. It'll no longer just be something you read on a page. It'll be something you are walking in your life every single day. Whew, come on. You got a gift. You got a gift in the Holy Spirit. You got a gift in the Word of God. You have a gift. You're never doing it alone. You are meant to be transformed. You are meant to have all of the promises that are within the Bible. And as you go after him and you allow him to do those things in your life, is when the church just goes from walls to a living and breathing miracle, to a living and breathing, loving God in every single person's life, just not in the church. Come on, this is where we become effective. This is where we take on exactly who he called us to be. This is where we realize that there is more in our lives than what we're doing. You will begin to see amazing things just begin to happen in your life. You will look back and you will not even realize, just because you were focused on the Father, you'll be like, man, I came from there. You didn't even feel like I worked at it. No, because you were enjoying the presence of God. You were allowing him to change, transform, and reveal to you all the promises and the things he had for you, and they just take root. I know that I'm going to let you guys go, I promise. I'm just going to read one more scripture that I really want to give you guys. First Corinthians 1:10, I'm sorry, I'm going to give you two scriptures really quick. First Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." It's the same because there's only one God. And as you go after him, you will see that unity happens in your life because you are going after the Father. It's where the church comes together. It's where the divisions stop, because now you are being transformed in your mind. You're no longer looking at things the way that you did. Just like in that last scripture we read, you're no longer acting like a child, but you're growing. You're maturing. You're allowing God to give you new things. You're allowing God to speak to you, which is allowing your perspective and your mind to change. Because now, instead of just looking at earthly things, you are seeing the kingdom. Revelation is taking place in your lives. There are times that you may not even realize it, but that moment that you're reading the Bible, that something stands out and it just goes, it hits you, that's revelation. Yeah. That is revelation right there. And it happens a lot of times more than you even realize. There can be times where I am walking at our store or just out when I go, "Oh man, God, I know what you're telling me." Because a lot of times it's things within your life that God says, "Okay, this is when I need to give you this. This is when I'm going to unlock this mystery for you. I'm going to show you something because it's something you need right now." So Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Let me tell you that the dictionary says edify is to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. But what I like is that it's examples of what edification is, of what edifying is uplifting, enlightening, and informing. We don't gotta be shaking a finger at anybody. We just gotta be loving them. We don't gotta be judging anybody who comes in, because let me tell you, at one point you were learning too. This is exactly where people need to be. And we gotta be loving on them. We gotta be enlightening in our spirit. We gotta be showing them who he is by being who he is, by being a reflection of the Father. And we do that by focusing on the Father. Unity comes through the Father. When people walk in those doors and they feel his presence, and you walk up to them and you love on them, regardless of the way they look, the way they act, the way they think, now they feel his presence, but they also see who the Father is. Come on. This is so important for the church. Man. I know this is something that he's been speaking in this church a lot. The relationship that we build with God is key for you to see all the things that you're wanting to see in your life. When you're asking for the help, when you're telling God, please just give me direction, when you are worried about your finances, when you any of those things come up and you focus on the Father, I'm telling you, he will supply every need. He will give you every tool. He will give you blessing. He will give you every single thing that you need if you just look to him in every single circumstance, regardless of what it is. And let me tell you that as we do this, the Bible tells us that he's waiting for his bride. Let me tell you that we are seeing the signs of end times. We are. Even when it's scary to admit it, we are. You can't deny when you look around, there is war, there is destruction, there is things happening in our world today that if you look at the Bible, it's all in there. But let me tell you something. You don't got to worry about it because you focus on the Father. Let's be honest. End times are a blessing for us because we're going home. It's not something we need to be scared of, and it's not something we need to be focused on. But I can tell you that the Bible does say that he is waiting for his bride. He is waiting. Who's the bride? The bride is his church. He is waiting for us to grasp onto these things and to understand that who you are is a mighty, mighty man and woman of God. You are a mighty person. And we don't realize it because we don't go after him. So we've not learned who we are in him. But he is trying to teach you who you are. He is trying to give you more and more every single day. And as you do it, I guarantee you, it's not going to be, oh, that church over here and this church over there and this church over here. It's not going to be that way anymore. We're going to realize the way that it should be, which is, what can I do to help you? You got an event? Hey, like, we'll come over. We'll help you get it done. You want to reach lives? Let's get together. Let's go do it. Because now it has nothing to do with division. It has everything to do with being who he called us to be. Being a reflection of who he is. So let me just tell you this morning. Go after God. If you're seeking unity in your life, whether it be in kids, in friendships, in anything. Anything. Go after God because unity is found in the Father. It's that transforming of your mind that's got to happen. Hallelujah. Do you want to? Huh? Oh, so we're going to stand and we're just going to sing a little more real quick, okay?
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.